So you've got a lot of experience, you know, singing country music and stuff like that. Grand Ole Opry at 6 years old. How do you transition into pop or into more mainstream music?
Well, you know, I grew up on country music, and that's really kind of my passion and what I want to do. You know, I think that I listen to a lot of non-country music, so I think that those influences kind of filter into my writing and the mm-hmm. production of you know, stuff that we're doing. I think people can hear that in some of the music, but you know, just in terms of what I love most and kind of my biggest influences are all country, and that's kind of where my passion is still. So.
Do you think coming from that, you know, that genre that is so storytelling deep helps you a lot in the mainstream? I mean, because, I mean, watching your video, that could be like a short film, you know? And people eat that stuff up. They love stories, like realness. And country music is country music. It's incredibly real.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, and that's what, I mean, when I say I grew up on country, I mean, that is what I'm used to. And when I sit down to write, you know, that's how I write. I had a friend got married in September, and they asked me to write something for their wedding. And I was like, I don't know if you know me, but I don't really like write love songs. That's not really my shtick. I took a few stabs at it, and it was just kind of failed attempts.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't find anything that I liked. And then finally, I just kind of went back to what I knew best, and that was just telling their story in song. That always works for me. If I can write a narrative, it really, really works for me. So it's kind of what I just kind of feel, where I feel most comfortable and what I feel most true to, I guess, because it really is, you know, the basics of country music. It's all storytelling. So I like it.
So speaking of, you know, storytelling and how you write from this narrative. If you don't mind sharing the story behind Dear John, how did that all come to be?
Yeah, so I, the whole project kind of came out of this need for some self-therapy. Mm-hmm. And I'd always wanted to do an EP and kind of had been slowly beginning to plan it. And I was going through a breakup at the time, and one of my biggest frustrations is that I always felt like I never had a whole lot to write about. Mm-hmm. And finally I had material. So I kind of connected with some people that I went to school with, in Nashville. I went to Belmont. I went to school with just amazing songwriters and musicians that are still down there, writing and plugging away. And, I called a few of them and told them what I wanted to do. And, each one of them, you know, there were, four other writers on the project. We did co-writes through, basically this 3-4 month period. And I just kind of wrote with them what I was feeling. You know, I would approach a co-write with, pretty much a structure of the song. And then we would just kind of bang it out. There were very specific things that I wanted to say. So, you know, like the whole EP is basically just like this journey through, you know, just like nostalgia and heartbreak and ambivalence and, you know, missing the person and then just kind of figuring out. Dear John was the last song we wrote for the EP, and it was just kind of my way of letting go. In a Dear John letter sort of way. So, that was the inspiration for it. You know, it was a long-term boyfriend for a relationship that ended. That's how it all came to be.
Okay. Song is, it's fantastic. Like I told you before, it's got
Thank
a
you.
No problem. It's got a great story behind it. You've got kind of like this Howie Day kind of sound going on, but there's obviously that country influence. It's got like that real, like almost like a Cat Stevens song back in the day, like really honest, but...
Oh, that's nice. Thank you.
Elizabeth adds something very special in those background vocals. It's like you guys are almost like working in tangent with one another. You can hear her in the background. How did you meet her? How did you guys design that chemistry?
So Liz and I have been friends for, we've been friends for 5 or 6 years now. We met when I was in Nashville. Taylor Swift was hiring dancers for her first headlining tour.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been a performer my whole life, and went and auditioned for her and ended up getting casted with 5 other people to dance on her tour for her Fearless tour.
Mm-hmm.
And Liz was her BGV for that tour and subsequent tours after that. But we just became really good friends, and I love her voice, and mm-hmm. I knew that you know, when I was making this project, I referenced actually a lot of old Leanne Womack records, mm-hmm. who I love and really love her music. Leanne does a lot of old country stuff to where she will sing, and she has one BGV that does a harmony right above her,
mm-hmm.
A male harmony. And I told the producers, I was like, I want to do that, but I want to have one female voice that sits right on top of me. And there was really no other person that I felt like I wanted to have on the record other than Liz. So I called her, and she jumped right in. So, but yeah, we met each other on Taylor's Fearless tour is how I know her.
Nice. What was it like to work with Trent Atkinson? Like the video, there's not a lot of videos out there like that. So when he kind of pitched the idea to you, how did that all work?
Well, so it was a long time in the making. So he knew that I was working on an EP, and we were talking about doing a video. He pitched the idea of doing a video. He was like, I know you're doing this. I love, he hadn't even heard the song yet. He was like, I know you're working on this. He was like, I want you to come back to me with whatever song you want to do. I had roughs of the EP and I came back and I said, I feel like it has to be, you know, the title track, and I think it's the best song on the record, and it's the one that is most special to me. So I was like, I want to do this. And he wrote the treatment, and Trent and I know each other through we used to go to the same CrossFit gym. He was one of the first people I ever met here in LA. But he came back with this treatment, which was, the song was kind of dramatic, but mm-hmm. he like made it even more dramatic.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't really sure what I thought about it at first, and then kind of sat with it for a while, and then eventually, you know, realized that it was a really good treatment, and was really, you know, really got pumped about making it. And you know, Trent and I just, you know, had a lot of help with the, you know, just a small team of people here that really just banded together for 2 days and cranked this thing out. But he's so talented. He's a really talented screenwriter. And then he directed and edited the film himself. So just really, really lucky to have him working on the project. And, you know, he's super talented and a wonderful friend of mine. So just really lucked out there.
There you go. All right, let's have a little bit of fun, because everything's been heavy so far. Give me a song on your iPhone or your iPod or whatever that you're absolutely ashamed of that you absolutely love. Like a song that you're like, yeah, I'm not listening to that, but you really are, and that you love.
Oh my god! Well, my favorite song of all time is Amy Grant's "Baby Baby," and I have to say that it's not the thing that you like want to whip out and tell people, but I can't help it because it's my favorite song. It has been since I was like 6 years old. So,
oh man, that's great.
There's that. I guess you can write that down.
Oh man, that's great. What's on your musical bucket list? Like, what are a couple of things that you really want to get done?
So I'm working on a new project that I'm really excited to keep writing, and then hopefully record sometime this summer. It has a direction, but not a fully realized direction just yet. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of excited to see where that's going to take me. Cool. So yeah, that's kind of like my next step, my next project that I'm working on. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it is about, it's the same thing. They're very story, you know, narrative based. A lot of the subject matter is, about family, and I come from a super conservative Southern Baptist family, and they all still live in Tennessee, so it was quite the journey to come out to them and like try to mend those fences and bridges. So it kind of gave me some material to write to, and I've been really enjoying kind of plucking away at that. So I'm excited to put it out. If anything, just for, new music that I'm excited to let other people hear. But I think that it's something that could be of use to people like me, mm-hmm. And I'm excited to kind of put that in the world a little bit. I mean, one of the greatest things about this video has just been emails and messages coming from, the LGBT community, where it's just like, I felt like that song was written for me. Like, I feel like you, wrote something and expressed something that I felt, but never had the ability to put into words. And, that's really special to me. I think that this next project will be, in the same vein as that.
How does it make you feel, though, too, that it's the type of song that, like, kind of transcends those things? Like, if the song was about a woman, if it was about a goat, if it was about a dog, it wouldn't matter, just because, I mean, the message there is so honest and pure. Like, do you feel like those are the types of songs that need to be written about these situations?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it was one of the motivations for this song specifically. I mean, I dated this, my ex and I dated for about 6 years, and when we broke up, I didn't get a phone call from a family member it was just my close friends were the ones reaching out to me saying, are you okay? Like, I know that this, you must be hurting. This is, this is a really hard thing to do. I mean, I've known people that were married for less time than we were together. And there was always, I felt like this feeling around not just my family, but just people's, feelings towards gay people that, like, oh, they must not hurt the same way that straight people do. Or, yeah. This kind of breakup, it probably doesn't affect them as much as, like, it would affect me, or if I lost my wife or my, my significant other. And that's just not true, because you're right. It transcends across, sexuality and time. It was one of the things that I wanted to capture in writing the song and making the video, and I think it does. So I'm happy about that.
Okay. Bottom line, why do you think someone should pick up this EP? Like, let's just say, hypothetically speaking, you can kind of be someone's Jiminy Cricket. Like, they're on iTunes and they're about to click, the download button, but they're not kind of sure, and they need like that push in the right direction. What do you think you'd say to them?
Oh gosh. I don't know. I mean, I think some people that have listened to the record and talked to me about it, they talk about it like it's a breath of fresh air, like it's something to listen to that's real and relatable, where it's like, some things that you listen to are just kind of fun, which I think everyone needs. Like, I love fun music with just like unintelligible, like, things that you just end up singing over and over again, and that's awesome.
Like Baby Baby.
I think what I'm most proud about is that I've written something that people listen to and they're like, shit, I felt that, or I've been there. Like, I understand, mm-hmm. this person that I don't know, and had those same exact feelings that you know, just that empathy. And I love that. That's really special to me.